Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 36. That's right. Thank you, Mr. Matt Haig, for that intro. I'm T-Ray, and this is Hanshin Tigers English News. It is great to have all of you with me today. Today is Sunday, June the 26th of 2016. And with me as my co-host is the very special...
Jimbo!
Jimbo, you are not Matt Haig. What happened to Matt Haig? I thought he was in the intro. I was all excited. Anyways, Jimbo, it's good to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me for the full episode.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, we've been enjoying the fantasy season with you, so I figured it was good to give you the full hour and a lot of fun to talk back and forth with you. So as we talk about life in Japan, as you're in Kobe and so am I, or in the general area, you've traveled around Japan quite a bit, haven't you?
Yes, I've been to at least 45 of the 47 prefectures here.
Wow, pretty impressive. Got any favorites out of those 45 that you've been to?
Well, Japan prides itself on its diversity, and each prefecture is different. So anytime anybody asks me that question, which happens quite often, is that, what do you want to do? Do you want to see the new Japan? Do you want to see old Japan? Do you want to try onsens? Do you want to eat? And there's just so much variety. It could be anywhere. But for me, you know, you can't beat going to Okinawa. And the main island's great, but for me, you want to go off the main island. You want to go to the smaller islands. You want to meet the local people. You want to, you know, it just feels fantastic down there, I think.
I can totally concur with that, having lived there 11 years. And, you know, oddly enough, I didn't get to nearly as many islands as I should have. I guess because, you know, when you're there and you're working every day, you know, you're not in that vacation or exploration mode all the time. But I got out to a fair number of the islands, and I really liked it out there as well. Got a favorite island?
Favorite island, Ishigaki.
Ishigaki, nice.
Fantastic. That one and, what's the one that's close to Taiwan?
Yonaguni. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's got the ancient pyramid in the water. You got to go see that.
Did you check that out?
Yeah, I did actually get to check it out. The water's choppy, so you got to cross your fingers and hope that you got good weather. You can go, you can dive and see it, or you can snorkel and see it. It's an amazing thing to see.
Very cool.
Well, but how about you? What prefecture do you like?
I actually like Hokkaido the best, but we're going to talk about that after we get into the main show. So stick with us. We're going to recap stuff. Yeah. Commercial time, baby. Okay. Thanks for that patience and waiting. Yeah, I like Hokkaido best as far as places to visit. And as some of you know, I lived in Okinawa for about 11 years and I lived in Hokkaido for a year. But I also visited Hokkaido 3 times before moving there. And Hokkaido is just, I just think it's excellent. I feel like it's a little taste of Japan, but it's also a taste of the rest of the world at the same time. Because it is very spread out, and I think actually the city of Sapporo is kind of more modern in some respects than the other cities because it was built and developed later than, say, a Tokyo or an Osaka or a Kyoto. And so it has a much more wide open feel. I really like that. And yet it's still very much Japanese. And so that's really cool. And Hokkaido is so big and it's got so much good food and so much nature and just so much to offer that you really can't go wrong. You know, and even in winter, they've got cool festivals and stuff like that. So that's where I'm at, man.
Oh, yeah. Hokkaido is a fantastic place to go to.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to go back. And in fact, I'm planning on going back as soon as I possibly can again. But, you know, with family, it's a little bit trickier. Anyways, one more thing before we jump into today's show. What two prefectures have you not visited or... do you even know? Have you kept track?
Oh, I always forget. I'm sorry. I can't tell you.
Okay. No worries.
I can't tell you.
That's okay. We'll just move forward. All right. So this week, everybody, in case you missed it, we finished up the interleague schedule because we played one of our rainouts. Then we got 3 days off and then we went into Hiroshima for 3. So let's look at the week that was. So, Monday, we play at Koshien against the bottom feeding, low life, cross town, oryx buffaloes. And, you know, it almost sounds like I'm describing us there, isn't it?
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. So this one actually played out very quietly. They brought Yuki Nishi to the mound again, who also played game one of this series against us. We brought Suguru Iwazaki to the mound, and both of these guys pitched extremely well. In fact, neither of them was in the decision because I forget how many innings Nishi went, but Iwazaki went 7 innings and allowed 0 runs. And we did not get any runs in the time that he was on the mound. So he was not credited with the win.
No, credited he went six with 5 strikeouts. Pretty good.
Oh, Iwazaki?
Yeah. No, Nishi. Nishi went 6 with Nishi. 5.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I was pretty sure Iwazaki went 7.
Yeah, he went 7.
That's right. Okay. So anyways, what happened was that after he left, then Fujikawa came in and pitched a clean 8th inning. And then in the bottom of the inning, we got our first home run in 14 games, or I guess it was 15 games. We had 14 blank games, and then the 15th game. Haraguchi with a 2-run blast to left. Didn't clear the wall by a whole lot, but it did clear the wall. It's a home run just the same. And that's it. That's the difference maker. 2-0. Dolis comes in for the save. So Fujikawa gets the win. that's a treat in itself in a way because... the way he's been playing, it doesn't happen too often. And Dolis gets a save. So we end Interleague on a bright spot. We get that, you know, much-awaited home run. We get a win to end things. You know, we're 7 wins, 11 losses. We don't finish in last place in Interleague, so good. But, man, so good to be done with Interleague because that just was not nice to us at all, hey, Jimbo?
No. And that last game against the Buffaloes was kind of like a flashback to earlier in the season where it was like, you didn't know the Tigers just seemed to find a way to win earlier in the season, like really early in the season in the 7th, 8th and 9th, we'd put up runs. And that's kind of what this one felt like. It was kind of a good feeling. Oh, maybe we're back. Maybe we can do it. Maybe, you know, we got out of this funk and we had a few days to rest up, see what we could do against the Carp.
Yes, indeed. Just a real quick recap on this one as well. We only managed 6 hits and 3 walks, so we didn't get a ton of guys on base. They, on the other hand, got 5 hits and 2 walks, so we outdid them in that respect. However, in Interleague, this is just the great big full recap, we hit 3 home runs. Far and away the worst in the 12 teams. We scored 44 runs. That's far and away the worst total out of all 12 teams. And so by some miracle, we did not finish in last place. Oryx finished below us, and I think Yakult finished below us as well. And maybe DNA tied with us. I don't have the standings in front of me, but I think we were tied for ninth. Which is still terrible. And, you know, we went from being 500 heading into Interleague to four games below 500 coming out.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, you know, if I look at my predictions and the way that I thought things should have gone, we were supposed to take 3 against the Eagles. We only got 2. We were hopefully going to get 2 out of the Lions. We only got 1. I was hoping for just 1 out of the Marines. We only got 0. And then I was hoping for 2 against the Fighters, but predicted 1, and that's actually what we got. We got just the 1. Then I was hoping for a sweep against the Buffaloes. We got 2. And then I predicted 0 against the Hawks, and I was hoping for 1, and we only got 1. So we didn't exceed expectations or hopes in any series.
And
No.
Yeah.
What would you say was the biggest problem in Interleague?
Oh.
I know there were several, but...
Well, for me, I think the biggest problem was our hitting. I mean, you can talk all day on how bad our pitchers were. But I don't think that was a surprise. I think we've known for a long time that our pitchers, especially our relievers, just don't have it. Just don't have what it takes to, you know, give you a feeling of security to take out your starter.
Right.
But our hitters, on the other hand, were hitting before. I mean, Gomez was on pace to hit, you know, lights out all year. Of course, you can't rely on one guy to do that. But then we had, you know, Fukudome was doing well, and earlier in the season, I know it was only about a week, but Egoshi was coming in, hitting home runs, lights out, and then now we got Haraguchi coming in, and he's hitting really well, but in the interleague, just everything, just the brakes, just somebody jammed on the brakes on our hitting and said, no, no more hitting. Gomez went on like a 7 strikeouts in a row, and Toritani had another, another super over 20 hitless streak, and it's just
like he's using an iron bat to match his Iron Man thing or something, because he stank with the bat.
That might be it, but for me, overall, it was just the hitting. Like I don't think we were scoreless so much, but it just felt like just so anemic.
So I think we got shut out twice in interleague, if I'm not mistaken, against Shohei Ohtani and then against Kodai Senga of the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were the only two shutouts that we experienced. But, you know, there were a couple of one-run games. We got one against Norimoto of the Eagles. We got one against Ishikawa of the Marines. And then we only managed 2 in each of our wins against Nishi of the Buffaloes and 1 in our loss against the other guy. Who cares? It's the Buffaloes. Anyways, but, you know, just the fact that even the teams that stink, you know, we only scored 5 runs in 3 games against the Buffaloes.
Yeah.
That is awful. That is awful. You're absolutely right. You know, and like you were saying, you know, earlier in the season, we were getting a lot of runs late in the games. And it was like, if we could keep it close, we had a chance to pull it off. And now it's like, we're not scoring at any point in the game. And I think this was really a time where we had to pounce on teams early in order to give our bullpens a little bit of something to play with. But we weren't really able to do that very often.
Right.
And we just never really exploded for a lot of runs in really any of the games during interleague. So for me, it was just a nightmare of 18 games to watch.
That's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's move forward. Not that we're moving into any, you know, like brighter skies or anything here, but as you'll see, we headed into Hiroshima, and I had predicted a 1-2 series, hoping that we could pull one off, but actually hoping we'd do more, but thinking we could get at least one when we bring Fujinami and then Nomi and then Iwasada to the mound during the weekend, and they've got Kuro the injured and they've got Eldred injured. I figured, you know, things were looking good for us. But we go in on Friday, and they bring Chris Johnson to the mound, who's someone we have typically really struggled against. And we brought Fujinami to the mound, who is someone who has very typically struggled early on. True to form, in the bottom of the first inning, he allowed a double, then a sacrifice bunt, then a walk, and then during that at-bat, when the runner was on third base, he actually came home on a pass ball. So thanks, Umino, for that. It's 1-0 for the Carp after one inning. Fujinami gets out unscathed other than that, despite a very shaky and very tiring inning. We got that run back actually in the top of the second with a Nakatani double to left field, which is nice. He brought in Hojo, who was standing on first base at the time. So now it's tied 1-1, and in the top of the fourth, we actually take a lead. And this came off of the bat of Hojo, and he brought Fukudome home, who was standing on second after a walk and a single. Hojo hit a double also down the left field line, so that was nice. We got a 2-1 lead and a chance for more, but they intentionally walked Umeno. And as you and I know, he is the rally killer, so I don't know why they didn't just challenge him. But they did that in order to face Fujinami, who's actually a pretty good hitter, but Fujinami went down swinging. So 2-1 heading into the bottom of the fourth, and Fujinami you know, couldn't clamp down after he got the lead. He gave up a leadoff triple, and a sac fly scored the tying run. So it's 2-2, and the game is remaining close the rest of the way. It stayed 2-2 right through until the bottom of the eighth. By the way, it was raining much of the night and even much of the day, and it was kind of uncertain whether this one would go or not, but it did. In any case, in the bottom of the eighth, we brought in Kyuji Fujikawa in relief. And he's had a rough season, and it was just as rough on this day. He allowed a leadoff hit, then he intentionally walked a guy with one out. And then with 2 outs, he allowed a 2-run triple to Takahiro Arai. So it is 4-2 now. And he got out of the inning. But then in the top of the ninth, we started with, it was Nakatani who got on with an infield hit.
Mm-hmm.
Game over. What? Yeah, it was raining so hard that their manager, Ogata, waited until their team got the lead and until the ninth inning started to go complain to the umps that it was raining too hard and maybe they need to take the players off the field. And the rain never subsided, and the game ended in the top of the ninth with one runner on and no outs, and the Tigers at least standing a chance to make a comeback. But that was it. They put that one in the record books as a 4-2 Carp win. So kind of lucky on their part in a way. Fujikawa deservedly gets the loss in this one. Can you imagine if we'd come back and won, then he would have gotten, you know, 2 wins in 2 days.
But
yeah. Anyways, he wouldn't have deserved it. But anyways, any thoughts on this game, Jimbo?
Well, I mean, we had Takayama coming up after Nakatani. And so, you know, he's been hit and miss this season. You know, he gets on fire and then he cools off. But I still feel with him up, anything could happen. Anything could happen. So we definitely had a chance in this game. But it was pouring at that game. I mean, usually on TV, you can't see the rain so much unless they get really close. But this one, it was just unbelievable rain. And I had no idea why they were even starting the ninth.
Yeah.
But another thought, Fujikawa. Yeah.
Send him to pasture? Is that what you're saying?
Hmm? Yeah.
You're saying send him to pasture?
Yeah, politely. I'm saying that politely. you know, I've been a fan since 2005. That was about when Fujikawa was really big. He was, you know, he's a big closer. Every time he came out, the crowd went wild when his song started to play. Everyone would just, there's kind of an alley for the relievers to come out at Koshien, and they have these big fences up, and everyone would run to the fence, get their camera out, shake the fence, say hello, take pictures. Just pandemonium when he went out.
Hmm.
But that was years ago. And
11 to be specific. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was losing his fastball. He was losing his touch before he went to the Cubs. I don't know what the Cubs saw to pick him up. So I don't know why we picked him back up. Nothing against the man. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I just think it was time for him to go. And he's coming back.
I'll tell you this in his defense, in a sense. I saw him during the preseason. I actually saw him in spring training as well. And at spring training, Kanemoto, who's, I guess, not really an expert on pitching, but nonetheless, he said, Fujikawa has got it. I mean, he's showing something that the other pitchers aren't showing yet. And then when I saw him in preseason, he looked really good. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't judge a pitcher solely on exhibition games or on bullpen sessions. But, I mean, he did look like he had good stuff, and he looked like he was going to do a pretty good job this year. But, I mean, he struggled right out of the gates. His first start was terrible. His second one was okay, and then his third one again was terrible. And I think it was after 4 or 5 starts that we put him in the bullpen, and he hasn't gotten it done there either. So, I can't help but wonder either if it isn't time to, at the very least, send him down to the farm. And then, you know, if he wants to come back just for one kind of, you know, farewell game, that's great. I don't mind that because we're not going to be in any pennant race anyways by then. But it, you know, it's hard watching him, you know, especially for people like you who are a fan of him in his heyday, you know, just like it's hard to watch Toritani at times. It is hard to watch Fujikawa. One more note on that, final hit by Arai, or two notes actually. First of all, sticking with Fujikawa for a little bit, he was so disheartened by allowing that hit that he didn't even go to cover third base as a pitcher should. I mean, he just kind of had his head down. He's like, whatever, like I blew it. So he knew right away and he didn't even go and do his job after that. And the second thing is, and this is something that really, really bugs me about the baseball game here, is that they tend to play real conservative. And so there were runners on first and second at the time. And
what they were doing is they brought the outfield in
to guard against a single being able to score that one run that would have been, you know, the go-ahead run. And what they do when that happens is they leave, you know, a lot of the area behind the outfielders, you know, very much open to, you know, extra base hits. They're basically saying kind of all or nothing, like we're drawing in the outfield. It was 2 outs, man. So, I mean, they should have, instead of counting on Fujikawa allowing a single, they should have counted on their fielders being able to cover if the guy hit the ball deep. And I guess either way, it's a gamble. But I would rather see them gamble and err on the side of, like, we trust that our pitcher is going to, you know, be able to create a situation where our fielders can make the, you know, game-ending catch, as opposed to them, you know, picking up a single and throwing it back to the infield in time to save a run. Because that's kind of a negative way of looking at things, you know. So that kind of bugged me. I don't know. That's something that's completely debatable, and I don't know how you feel about it. But any thoughts on that?
Not really. I mean, I was just seeing red after Adai beating us again.
Yeah, geez. Seriously, right? I mean, how much did he beat us when he was on our team, too?
You know, that's a good way to look at it. I always looked at it at the point that he just always seemed to choke at the most inopportune times. And when we were down 10 to 0, he'd hit a home run. Or if we were up 10 to 0, he'd hit a home run. But it was 1-1 with score runners in scoring position, strikeout, or his most favorite thing to do is to hit into a double play.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I saw a rally end with him hitting into a double play.
It's almost like his initials were DP Arai or something like that, right?
Yeah. It's might as well be.
Yeah, and he has just been incredible since going back to the Carp. I mean, last year he was really good, and this year he's even better than he was last year. And that's just defying, you know, the reality of age and aging, because he's like 39 years old, and I know what it's like to be 39. You're not as good as you're not as fast as you are when you're 38. That's for sure. And he's doing the opposite. It's like he's Benjamin, what's his name?
Button.
Yeah. What's going on? Another thing, man. Fujinami is back to his old things, right? I mean, like he's trying too hard for strikeouts. He's throwing way too many pitches. He's not trusting his infielders. You know, his pitch count is super high. His walks are super high once again. So just a discouraging way to start the week. But let's move into the next game before we, start to dig ourselves too deep here.
Yeah.
And we'll dig ourselves plenty deep talking about the next two losses. So Saturday, we bring Atsushinomi to the mound, and they bring rookie Akitake Okada, who is winless up to this point, but has pitched very well on the season. And Nomi actually struggled even worse than Fujinami in some ways. I mean, he did all right in the first couple innings. He didn't allow any runs, even though he allowed base runners. In the third inning, walk, RBI single, strikeout, sac fly score, run scoring single. So he allowed three runs, and then he struck out the final guy, who happened to be the eighth guy of the inning. But yeah, like just terrible control, and it's 3-0 for the Carp before you know it. And then in the fifth inning, he allowed a two out infield single followed by an RBI double to right field. And so now it's 4-0, and that was the end of his day. He went 113 pitches through 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. Terrible line. And I know we're not doing a fantasy update, but thanks for ruining my fantasy team, Nomi. So 4-0, and we are looking like we are doomed. Except that in the 7th, we actually got a home run again. Yes! We didn't wait 15 more games. Nakatani hit a 2-run home run. So still no outs, and the score is 4-2 in the 7th, and we're into their bullpen. Their bullpen is not awesome, by the way, anyways. But so we got those two, and then Ito gets a hit, and then Takayama comes close to hitting a home run. But it was right to the warning track. So if he'd hit that home run, it would have been 4-4. Next batter up is Toritani, and Ito tries to steal base, fails. But Toritani walks, and so we're kind of in the same scenario of one out. I guess it's two outs now. Two outs and a runner on first. And Toritani actually almost hit a home run himself, but it would have been a solo shot. And then Nishioka came up, and he was pretty close to hitting a home run as well. I mean, his was literally like maybe a foot foul down the right field line. So it would have been nice. It would have been a tie game, but it wasn't. He did hit a single, and then there were runners on first and third with two outs, and Gomez grounded out to end the inning. So that was into that. It's 4-2, and that is the way this one ended. No rain ended this one, in fact. We got to play our full 9 innings, but we could manage squat in those final 2 innings. One base runner, and that's that. 4-2 for the second day in a row, the Carp win. Doubling us up. Thoughts on this one, Jimbo?
Well, it's good to see the young guys getting home runs with Nakatani hitting one out. But it's so disheartening to see you know, just you can't capitalize on the other base runners with Gomez getting the hit out. But, you know, not much more to say to that. And Nomi, yeah, again, just like the day before, you've got it right. Didn't get a hit, but the sack fly, it's just so disheartening. It's just so disheartening.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And you've got your captain going 0 for 3 with just one walk. He gets a walk more than he gets a hit.
Yeah. So he broke his hitless streak on Friday with his final at-bat. I think it was his 29th at-bat. He set a new career worst, but then he went right back to not hitting again.
Yeah, he started a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's a man of streaks, as we all know.
Yes. And
one streak is being allowed to continue, you know, until the point that the team, you know, finishes last. But the other ones, you know, will eventually come to an end. Anyways, couple of notes on this one. So the home run by Nakatani was his first career home run. He was recently called up and he only had very limited playing time in the previous years since he was drafted. He was drafted out of high school as a catcher in 2010. Now he's an outfielder. And he'll come into play in Sunday's game as well when we talk about that. But one more thing, the most important thing in this game that we did not mention, and that is that Kosuke Fukudome reached 2,000 career hits, and that includes his MLB and his NPB numbers. Mm. And actually, he did it with an infield single to second base, which is kind of interesting because Kikuchi covers second for them, and he just wasn't able to gobble it up. I mean, he tried. He actually made a nice play just to get to the ball, but then he could not stop it and couldn't throw it to first. And so that was Fukudome's 2,000th career hit. It was nice, you know, really good. And, of course, it's great to see him reach that milestone. And, you know, he did it in such a way that he didn't drag it out. It didn't take him a long time to reach it once he was getting close. And, you know, not a big deal was made of it. And I guess part of that is because we were down 4-0 when he did that. And he wasn't able to score in that inning anyways. But nonetheless, congratulations. And it's time to move on to, you know, the post-2000 hits and see how things go. So let's talk about the final game of the series, which is today for us. And it'll be, you know, yesterday or the day before for y'all when you listen. But it's Sunday and we're bringing Yuta Iwasada to the mound. You know, who's our best pitcher this year so far, but he's kind of slowed down a little bit as well. Anyways, and they bring a guy by the name of Ryuya Toda, who is, you know, by no means a great pitcher. So this is our chance. We've got a great pitcher on the mound and they have a not so great pitcher, but they actually got to us first. And again, our best friend, Jimbo.
Arai.
Yes. With a monster home run to left field in the second inning. Fortunately, it was a solo home run, so 1-0 for them. And the nice thing is, we actually were able to fight back the very next time we got up to the plate, which is great. We got RBI singles back-to-back from Kosuke Fukudome and Mauro Gomez, so it is 2-1 for us. A lead! Woohoo!
Yeah.
Let's see how long we can keep it. Two innings. Bottom of the fifth inning, Iwasada pulls a Nomi. That being the Nomi of Saturday. In the bottom of the fifth, he walked three straight guys to load the bases, and then it was a sack fly that brought in the tying run, so it's 2-2. It's familiar, you know, this happened earlier in the week where it was 2-2, and there were a couple of scoreless innings, but in the top of the eighth, the Tigers actually took the lead, which is very exciting, very promising. Once again, it was Fukudome at the dish with a double to the left center gap. And that scored one run. That scored Nishioka. So it's 3-2. And we are heading into the ninth inning. So we blanked him in the eighth. They blanked us in the ninth. And Iwasada is still on the mound. And at this point, he has allowed just one hit. And I think it was four walks.
Yeah, four walks.
Yeah, four walks at this point. And the inning played out like a nightmare, like only a nightmare could play out. So he gives up a hit and then a chopper grounder that I was hoping would be a double play, but it was too high of a chopper. So again, we've got runners, runner on first with one out, and they get another hit. So now they've got runners on first and second, or first and third, I should say. And then we intentionally walk the next guy. And the reason for that is, one, it was Arai, and he's been killing us all year. Yes. And the other one is that we got behind him 2-0. Like, the count was 2-0, and so we walked him because it was like, okay, well, if we have to throw him strikes, he's going to kill it. So they just walked him. So his base is loaded, and then Iwasada managed to strike out the next guy. So it's two outs. We got, you know, the Atohitori. Oh, no, base hit, tie game, right? So now it's a tie game, and we pull Iwasada because, you know, he had 98 pitches coming in. He was at 124 when we pulled him. You know, obviously he's gassed. We bring in Dolis, and Dolis has been excellent for us lately, especially since being called up from the farm. Mm-hmm. And he induces a pop fly to left center on the second pitch that he throws.
Oh.
I was pausing for that because, that's exactly how that's coming. So the fly ball is right between Shunsuke playing left and Nakatani playing center. And Shunsuke is kind of waving one of his arms saying, I got it. And Nakatani is kind of waving one of his arms saying, I've got it. And they both got it and they both didn't get it. So they ran into each other. Neither of them caught the ball. The winning run, the walk-off run scores, and Shunsuke is down for the count. He is on the canvas, not getting up. And he actually had to be taken off on a stretcher, and I have no word on his status right now, but, he's probably feeling physically what the Tigers are feeling mentally right now. We lost three straight to the Carp, and we found three different ways to lose to them, and I think all three games, in some respects, were winnable.
Oh, most definitely they were all winnable. They were all winnable.
Yeah. So, I mean, we held them close, and that's very small consolation when you lose three straight to a team that already had a 7.5 game lead on us. So if we sweep them, it's a 4.5 game lead. If they sweep us, which is what happened, it's now a 10.5 game lead. So now we're 10.5 behind the Carp, but we're in fifth place. And we are only a half game ahead of the charging Yakult Swallows, who actually took, I think, 2 out of 3 or else all 3 of their weekend series against Chunichi. The only bright spot for us is that we're still just 2.5 games out of second place. That's it. Yeah, that's the only bright spot.
I looked at the standings this morning, and it almost, not exactly, looks like the other league, PA League, but, I mean, you've got the Carp, who are at least 8 games in front of second place, at least.
They're exactly 8, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody else is like 8, 9, 9.5, 10. They're all around there. It might have changed since this morning, but they're all right there. So it's still a close game. It's still a close league. I mean, anybody could get into second. First, yeah, that's a little tough right now, but
for sure,
everything
for sure.
from 6th to 2nd is still up for grabs. And even though we've been playing, I mean, I guess that's one good thing to take from this. I mean, we've interleague, we just didn't do very well at all, as we all know. We're down in, what, 9th or 10th place out of all of them. And we come in and lose three to the Carp. And we're still not out of it. At least 2nd and 3rd place. You know, we're still not out of the playoffs. So, I mean, I guess that's something you can take from it. But, I mean, that's really grasping at straws for something to make you smile.
Well, here's something to maybe make you smile, but maybe not for the right reasons. I kind of can't help but wonder if I've misunderstood the meaning of chohenkaku. Maybe the Japanese is chohenkaku, and it means we're really going to suck this year.
Oh, gosh. It just makes you smile, because what else can you do? You know, it's like, there's nothing else to do. I can't get mad anymore.
No.
One thing I do want to quickly add about the game is that Nakatani was just catching balls like none other. He made 3 or 4 spectacular grabs that game. So, I mean, he's really playing his heart out. And I think on that play, it's fielder's error. They were both looking at the ball. So when they're both waving, neither of them looked at the other. So they're not looking. And they're both, what do I say? Nakatani just came up, and Shunsuke's only in, what, the 9th inning, maybe the 8th. And, you know, these are two guys that want to, you know, show what they can do. Right. They both want to get the ball. I mean, it's not, if they don't shine at that moment, that's their only chance they get. So I can kind of understand it. It still isn't good, but
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it wasn't really a situation where they would shine anyways, because it was a pretty routine fly ball. I mean, it was between them, but both of them had plenty of time to get there. Neither yes. of them was running full steam, you know, towards the ball. But they were both jogging towards it. And, you know, if you're jogging out on the streets and you're not expecting to hit somebody and somebody, you know, out of the blue hits you, yeah, you're going to fall down. You're going to be hurt. And it's going to, you know, it's going to take a lot more out of you than if you actually see them coming and yeah. get hit by them. So I think both of them were kind of blind, you know, blindsided, or they weren't aware of each other, which is a big faux pas as a baseball player. I mean, but again, I really think this comes down to the team just not being comfortable playing with each other. And how many times has Kanemoto juggled this lineup? And when you're juggling and you constantly got a different guy on your right and on your left, well, you don't necessarily know how they move. You don't know how they communicate. You know, you don't know which balls they're going to let you get or whatever. I mean, okay, right. Maybe some of it is actual fundamentals. Like, I was talking to somebody and they said, that's the center fielder's ball. Like, the left fielder has no business going for that. It's the center fielder's. But I don't know. I mean, it's a communication thing too. It's a familiarity thing where if you know the players around you, you're going to be able to, you know, make the decision much more easily as to whether you go for it or leave it to the other guy.
That's true. That's true.
So I honestly, I don't want to go long on this, but I really hope that this whole Chohenkaku doesn't mean that we're going to be juggling the lineup for the rest of the season. You know, if we stink this bad and if we're losing this much, just stick with the same guys and let them, you know, let them ride out their stink and actually try and get good.
Yeah. I can see that. Oh, some players get to ride it out and some players don't. I don't know how that works, but apparently it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently some of them are allowed as much time as they want. By the way, Toritani also went hitless in this one and he also collected a walk. So, you know, same old, and, you know, he is most likely going to keep playing every inning of every game the rest of the way.
Yeah, he's on a six at-bats with no hits, not including walks.
Yeah, six at-bats, 8 plate appearances with no hits. And so I think last time when they counted it was plate appearances and when it was 29. So we'll count it as plate appearances. He's on an 8 plate appearance hitless streak. That means he's one of his last 37.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Hard to love, yes. For sure. All right, let's stop right there. I mean, that's plenty of talk about the games, and that's plenty of venting about the suckiness of the team.
Yes. For now. Let's be happy. Let's be happy. Yes.
Let's be happy. Let's be positive. Let's choose a player of the week.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
So, as I was saying to you a little bit before the recording, I mean, we managed to score all of 9 runs all week in 4 games. So, not a lot of great offensive stuff. We also only won 1 out of 4 games. And that one win went to Fujikawa, who got the loss the very next day, or the next game. So, do you have anybody in mind that you would say stood out as the player of the week, Jimbo?
Oh, yeah, I think this one is hands down, clear as day. There's only one player, I think, that deserves it. And that is none other than Fukudome.
Oh!
He went 6 for 13,
uh-huh.
So almost 500. Yep. He got his 2,000th hit. Mm-hmm. Today he got 2 RBIs.
He did.
And he got 2 the other day as well, I think, at least 1 or 2. I mean, he's hitting really well. He's our best hitter out there right now. And so I think, yeah, just hands down, Fukudome outplayed the rest of our side.
Okay, well, you say there's only one, I say there's only 2, and I'm going to choose the other one. Actually, I thought for sure you were going to say this guy, although I had Fukudome as a very close second as well. I'm going with Mr. Nakatani, who hit the team's... He didn't hit the team's only home run, actually, because Haraguchi got one too.
Yeah.
But he hit a home run, he went 6 for 14, and he had 3 RBI, and he had a couple of extra base hits besides his home run. I think he had 2 doubles, and... like you said, he also made some incredible catches in center field today. So he actually did a pretty good job fielding. I think he had an error on Saturday. But he has just been, you know, he's been a great surprise, a pleasant surprise. One of these guys that we weren't expecting, because, you know, we always look at the outfield and say, when's Egoshi coming back? When's Yokota coming back? When's Takayama going to get regular playing time? How about that Itayama kid? And then Fukudome. And so, you know, Nakatani's like the sixth or seventh guy down the chart. And, you know, we also got Ito, who's struggling in various aspects, but he's always in the picture as well. So Nakatani's kind of the forgotten guy, but he actually had a great week. And so I'm going to give mine to him.
That's fair. That's fair.
So that's kind of cool. I mean, I like it when we have a split player of the week. And I was almost thinking as we were preparing for the show, like, if we have the same guy, like me and Joe, and then me and Zorni had the same guy for the last, like, several weeks in a row. So it's good that we have a slight difference in our choices.
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely good that we have two hitters. I mean, as I was saying before, I thought our hitting was our big problem.
Yes.
Because I think it's rote. It's understood that our pitching has not been good. But I think our hitting is what can save us. Because I don't think we're going to do much for pitching.
Yeah. Well, you know, our starters actually have not been that bad. I mean, in general, they've kept us in most of the games.
Yes.
You know, we got the exceptions, like Nomi was not awesome on Saturday. But, you know, Fujinami kept us in the game on Friday. Iwasada, until they kept them in too long, did it for us on Sunday. And Iwazaki did it for us on Monday earlier in the week. And so, you know, our starters are definitely getting it done. We didn't even mention Randy, who's always, you know, ready to keep our team in the game. So our starters are strong. Our bullpen is awful. And then we need the hitters. On that note, though, too, Jimbo, I haven't actually counted it out, but when's the last time we got a home run out of either Fukudome or Gomez? These are supposed to be our two power hitters. Now, Nakatani got one during this series. Haraguchi ended Interleague with a home run. And then earlier in Interleague, we only had two other bombs. Those were by Kano and Toritani. So it has been at least 21 games since either of them has hit a home run. And that is definitely a recipe for failure right there.
Yes.
I say, so guys, you better start, you know, eating your Wheaties or whatever in the morning and start to hit the ball a little bit harder, because we, the fans, demand more home runs.
That's right. That's right. I think it was in April, Gomez was on pace to hit 300 RBIs the year.
Yeah, something like that. It was just crazy, and he has cooled off. Although, you know, in his defense, was it one or two hits today, and he got an RBI for the first time in ages. So
he seems to be turning it back on.
After
he went with that bad streak of strikeouts, and they put him on the bench,
mm-hmm.
let him sit down and think about it. He came back, and now he's hitting again. I don't know how that works, but apparently it works for some people.
You know, sometimes players do better when they get that little bit of rest, you know.
Yeah. sit and think about his swing.
I wonder if anybody out there would be willing to set that example. Maybe somebody in a higher position, maybe a captain's role or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, Fukuhara has taken the step down. He's the pitcher's captain. He's been on the farm for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, lead by example.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Good job, Fukuhara. Thanks for leading by example.
He's the man. He's my favorite.
Yes. Well, he's coming back, and he needs to, man, because the way our bullpen is, I say, why not bring back Fukuhara and Saiuchi? I don't care if they've not gotten it together on the farm. They can't be worse than the guys we have in there now.
That's true.
And those are guys that we were counting on at the start of the year. Bring them back and see if they can't just find the magic. You know, maybe they just struggle on the farm for unknown reasons, but when they come up and face the real competition, they might be able to bring back, you know, their regular game. And we need it, man. We need it.
Yeah, we've seen it. I mean, it's happened with a couple pitchers. Not for long periods of time, but I think, I forget who it is, but looking at the fantasy, I know Zorni's got a pitcher who doesn't do well on the farm, but did pretty well up on the big team.
Yeah,
and we had another pitcher that pitched, I think, one game on the big team and then got injured. You have to forgive me.
I don't remember, but Ishizaki was excellent on the big team and not so great on the farm.
And then
Yokoyama has been pretty excellent on the big team, and he's been kind of mediocre but good on the farm. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a possibility that they would turn it on and do just as well up here as they did down there, or even better. So, and we got nothing to lose at this point except more games.
That's true. That's true. We got plenty of games to lose.
We still got 69 games left. So you know, there's lots of opportunity for blown saves and all that kind of stuff. All right,
get him out of the way this year. Get him out this year.
Yeah, get him out this year.
I think that's what the Carp did last year.
Seriously, because they actually looked like a great team last year on paper, and they were awful. And this year, it's like, man, they're on a 9-game winning streak right now. And
next time, if you ever get to talk with Stewart again, ask him about what was their secret last year. They just threw it away last year and saved up all their energy for this year. What was it?
I don't know. There's rumors that maybe they're stealing signs. Somebody out there was saying that.
Oh, they always, they say that every year.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, hey, you know, we have spent so much time talking ourselves, but I really want to introduce to everybody a very special guest to the show. And I have to apologize because I'm using this new recording equipment that I've never used before when I talk to this guy on Skype. But have a listen, and Jimbo, we'll talk about it after we let this flow. But I got to talk with Matt Haig, so check it out.
Who's in that chair? Who's tea talking to? Who's in that chair? Maybe veteran, maybe two. Who's in that chair? Who's in that chair? Who's in the chair?
So I'm here, everybody, with a very special guest, and I don't know how to go about introducing him because this is the very first current Hanshin Tiger I've ever had on the show, and so we'd like to welcome Matt Haig to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, you know, we've been excited about you ever since you signed with the team and even ever since the rumors started with the team. So tell us a little bit about how you got connected with the Tigers. Like, what was the process of getting you from being, you know, over in America onto the Hanshin Tigers team?
I think it's a lot of people think that it's a quick process and it happens right away. But I know during the season last year, there was some interest. You know, it's one of those things where you talk with your agent and, you know, he fills you in on what's going on. And at the time when I think the overseas attention started happening, I was with Toronto and Big League Club, and we were trying to win a division championship, and, you know, we had high aspirations. So I think when it all started, I wasn't really, really focused on it. And then when the offseason came, the opportunity arose, and I've always kind of wanted to experience Japan, and, you know, you hear about it, especially in the States, a lot, all the players coming up, and I grew up in Seattle, so I was a huge Ichiro fan, and so I think it's just one of those things that comes about, and you talk to your family, and they had to ask permission from the team and all that, and, you know, it's definitely a little bit of a process, but I think you know, the big thing is I got the opportunity and I didn't want to pass it up. And I thought it was I think it is a great opportunity for me.
For sure. That's great. Well, so, were there any other, if you don't mind me asking, were there any other clubs in any other leagues anywhere, like overseas or whatever, that were talking with you at the time? Or was it pretty much like either stick with the Blue Jays or come to the Tigers, or like, what were your options like?
No, at the time I was still on the roster and all that. And, there was I don't go too much into the details with the agents and everything, but he said there was, you know, definitely a couple teams over here that he was talking to and showed some interest. And there are some teams in Korea, also as well. But, you know, I think that this opportunity, especially with, the Tigers and, you know, once the opportunity arose and you kind of look into it, you kind of get a better grasp on what's going on. And it seemed, and still is, just, I mean, it's a great opportunity for me, and it's fun being here.
That's really cool. It's good to hear that. So let's go back to your growing up and all that kind of stuff. And you said you grew up in Seattle and you were a big Ichiro fan. Now, like, were you also a Mariners fan, and was Ichiro like your first favorite player, or was there somebody before that kind of got you interested in baseball in the first place?
I would say that definitely a Mariners fan. In 1995, when, you know, I had their playoff run there, and yeah, Alex Rodriguez and King Griffey Jr. and Edgar Martinez, and those were, you know, my favorite players. And
right.
I think once Ichiro was a big hit in Seattle the first year he came over there, and, you know, did extremely well and all that. So I think it's just kind of, those type of guys you look up to when you're young and they're from your area, they're playing in your area, and they have a lot of success. So those are the guys you tend to grasp onto.
Right. Well, it was kind of a golden age there in Seattle, at least as far as the individual players, and then even having that one playoff run, but really some great individual players on that team. Now, you moved over to – you were in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization before the Blue Jays, which was before the Tigers, obviously, and you were playing in Indiana. And I got a special kind of request question from a buddy of mine who's from Indiana. What did you like about playing in Indiana, or what was it like playing there?
I loved it. The Indianapolis Indians is the team name there, and I played there for parts of 4 years. I know in 3 years I was going up and down from big leagues to AAA, and, almost was, I call it kind of my second home because I was there for so long. And, when you live in a town like that, you build some relationships, and the city is very clean. Downtown there is very easy. It goes, you can be in and out of downtown there in 15 minutes, and then, you're off in the countryside a little. So I just like the atmosphere there. Extremely clean. There's always events going on there, and the ballpark is beautiful. I think it's don't quote me on that, but I think it's one of the top 5 minor league baseball fields in all of America. So I was extremely fortunate to play there for a couple years, and not to mention the fans there. You're selling out a lot of those games, but just the atmosphere in general is very clean, very fun, and very family oriented.
Well, sure, there's some great teams to play for and some tougher teams to play for, depending on the atmosphere of the club, the ballpark, the city, and all that kind of stuff. So that's good to hear. Now, while you were playing in America, either in the bigs or on one of the minor league teams, did you ever face a Japanese pitcher, or is there anything you remember about facing Japanese players at the time?
I remember I was a spring training. I was with the Pirates and faced Tanaka in a spring training game. That was quite the experience because, he's starting against you and he has a high pedigree and he just came over, he's been over to the States for a while. So that was the only guy I faced though from Japan.
And what was the result? Do you remember how that went?
I think I went 1-for-3. Someone actually showed me the stat sheet from that game.
Oh, cool.
About a month ago at Koshin. So I went 1-for-3 against them. I remember that.
Very good, very good. Hey, so then you were with the Blue Jays, and you had Kawasaki, Muninori Kawasaki as your teammate. What was that experience like? I mean, we hear a lot about him. We see a lot of YouTube videos. Tell us a little bit about interacting with him on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, man. Kawasaki, I think that, is the best teammate that I've ever had. I think he's just one of those guys that he's always happy. His mood never changes. He's always happy. Just having a good time, and the fans love him there. We'd be on the road, and I played with him in AAA, and I played with him a little in the big leagues as well, but he'd have a fan club on the road in the minor leagues, and that's the only time I've ever seen it. So I think it's just, he's one of those guys, not really like any like huge like special moments, but just the way he kind of goes about his business, and he's always in a good mood and always trying to have a conversation, and especially a guy coming from Japan, the language barrier is a big thing. So he kind of emerged himself right away and really tried to build relationships. He's just a positive guy to have in the clubhouse. And I think every one of his teammates that's ever been a teammate of his will attest to that too. They definitely always a big hit in the locker room, keeping it loose.
Well, you've experienced the reverse side of that now with the, the language barrier and all that kind of stuff. But also, like, as a Hanshin Tiger now, have you found anybody on the Tigers that you would say is, maybe similar to him in personality or just in, just a fun guy to be around or anything like that? Or has the language barrier been pretty tough on you, or what's that been like?
I would say that if there was no language barrier, there's nobody like Kawasaki. I think he's one of a kind. But there are some funny guys on the team, on the big league team. I've always got M and Ari joking around. He keeps it loose and has some fun. And, Fukudome, he's been to the States, so he kind of gets a little. So it's fun to, strike up a conversation with him and joke around. But for the most part, you don't really understand each other that much. So a lot of it's like hand signals and sign language and, kind of pick up little things and try and start conversations. And I'd say in the minor leagues, Sokka is pretty funny. There's a lot of guys on the on the minor league team that make a big effort, Soroka. But there's good guys everywhere on both sides, so it's been fun. Even though the language barrier's there,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty entertaining when you get in a conversation with a Japanese guy, and we try and have a little fun with each other.
That's great. Well, I've noticed sometimes they have it on camera, but Randy Messenger or even Mauro Gomez or those guys, I noticed a lot of punching in the arm or pinching in the cheeks or just that kind of stuff. And I guess that's kind of a way to show each other that you appreciate each other, or you like each other, or you want to have that relationship when words can't do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we play a game for a living, and I think that we are just a bunch of little kids at heart, and even though we tend to be a little older, I think that it's still, when you have that type of relationship or mentality of just having a little fun, it helps.
Yeah, I bet. So you joined the Tigers, and obviously things are a little bit different than playing in America. Are there any kind of special perks or benefits that you've felt it's great to be in NPB because of this? Is there something that kind of stands out as a great perk?
I would say the perk of, for me personally, just going to the different stadiums and kind of seeing all of the different types of stadiums, and I try and get out and explore as much as I can. I would just say that just seeing a different culture and experiencing something totally different than when you're used to. I think that's just a big thing, and I think just the competitive baseball here in general is a perk of playing here. Trying to get better, and you learn a lot of stuff playing in the MPB just because it's different styles, but at the same time, you pick up on things, you try and learn some things, and I think that's just the biggest perk of just trying to get better, even though you're in a different country.
Right. Very nice. So speaking of being able to play in different cities and different stadiums, do you have a favorite stadium or favorite city outside of Koshien?
I would have to go, not just because of the big series, but the Tokyo Dome. I think that's a cool atmosphere. It's in a dome. You're going to play every day. Right. The hotel there is right in the middle of everything. There's like an amusement park and a bunch of stuff to see around there. So the tradition of that series is fun just to be a part of and play in that historic place and play against the Giants in general. So I think that's, that's definitely my favorite one.
Very good. Very good. Now, as you're playing in Tokyo against the Giants or against the Swallows or in Yokohama against the Bay Stars, et cetera, have you been able to kind of befriend any of the players on any of the other teams, or were you friends with any of them before you came over here or anything like that?
Yeah, I think that, the guys for the foreigners for the other teams, at least you play against a lot of them in the States. But I would say that the Oryx team, even though, we stay in live in the same place. So I think that with Morel and, I played against Vicieto a lot with the Dragons. So, you kind of have a mutual respect, even though you play against them, and, you guys are ultimately over in a foreign country, and we kind of tend to build relationships with those guys.
All right, cool. That's really neat to see. I know I've read stuff about Randy Bass and some of the other Tigers legends and stuff, and said they spend a lot of time just going out for dinners and stuff after games and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I was just kind of curious if you were able to fraternize with some of the other guys on other teams. Yeah.
I've been out to dinner a couple times with Morel and Bogusevich, a lot of the Buffaloes guys. But when you're on the road playing against those guys, the schedule's pretty brutal. Usually you're getting back, at 11 o'clock, midnight.
Right.
And there's not much time to, go out and necessarily have a good dinner. But, me and Garrett Jones played with each other with the Pirates, so right. I've seen him a couple of times, and that's always a fun, little lunch to be a part of. But for the most part, it's just kind of saying hi, and when you see them and you try and do something, it's pretty usually quick because we both have things to do, and
yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, it's always good to kind of get a refresh and go see some guys that you played against or played with and have a good time with them.
Sure. Now, do you have any favorite foods or any favorite restaurants since you've come out to Japan?
Oh, man, that one's hard. You know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of good food here, but I think my favorite one is ramen. The ramen here is unbelievable. There's a place in Shinsaibashi I've been to a couple times. I can't remember the name because it's in Japanese, but
right.
It's definitely my favorite food, I would say, is the ramen. And, of course, I like the sushi and the sashimi. The Kobe beef place I went to a couple times is the Zen place. That's one I like going to. It's expensive, you know, but it's very good. It's the best beef I've ever had.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, definitely Japan is a place that really prides itself on its food and presentation of food in restaurants. So I knew you'd have a few good places that you'd been to for sure by now.
Yeah, I read in an article the other day that Japan is the number one for Michelin stars or something like that. And the next closest is like London, and Japan has triple what London has, even though it's, yeah, so it's definitely a culinary treat for me to eat food here.
For sure. Well, keep on enjoying it and report back if you find any places good and that's in my budget.
Absolutely. Vice versa. Let me know.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, let's shift gears here a little bit. I just want to talk about a few fun things. Like you've got your walk-up song, and I'm wondering how you chose that, or was that like a song that you'd always wanted to use, or that you used in America or anything, or what was the story behind that?
The song I picked was actually by Drake, mm-hmm. and the process actually kind of helped, or I mean it was pretty quick. You know, I saw a piece of paper on the thing, so we had the plates on. So mm-hmm. I guess that was our song in Toronto when we won the championship. Okay. Was the Drake song. So, but usually I go to Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird, and I'm actually, you know, hopefully I get opportunity to go back up. I'm going to change the plate song to the plate song I always had, which was the Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird classic rock.
Awesome. Love the classic rock. All right. Good stuff. So on the note of songs, obviously there's a Cheer song that's the Matt Haig song, or the Cheer. How does it feel to hear that? And then, like, have you memorized any of it, or is it really kind of rung in your ears, or what's that like?
I would, you know, I think it's kind of a weird situation because, you know, you're on deck and you're preparing yourself for the at bat. Mm-hmm. You try and block it out as much as you can, just because you got to focus on the pitcher, but you can't help but to hear it. So I think, you know, for the most part, I definitely don't have it memorized, uh-huh. but I do. I do definitely hear it. I hear the hey goo, and then you always hear the between every pitch the home run, you know, home run.
Yeah.
So I think that don't have it memorized, and it's one of those weird situations where you try and actually not to hear it, mm-hmm. but they're so loud and you can't help but to hear it. So I think just little parts you hear, and uh-huh. It's always fun. You take a step back and you realize that, you know, the whole left field bleachers or right field bleachers are chanting your name and rooting you on. I think that's just, it's a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine, but at the same time, I can imagine. So that's really cool. All right. One more question, just kind of, actually I can get my son to teach you the song if you're ever interested. You know, we can just get together and my little 2-year-old will sing it for you until you get it right too.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had any weird requests? Speaking of having a 2-year-old teach you a song, have you ever had any other weird requests from fans?
I don't know if I've had this. Well, I guess it's kind of weird. For the first time I had, I don't know if it's like a tradition here, but one of the parents wanted me to hold his baby.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it doesn't really happen in the States, so I guess I was kind of caught off guard, and that was definitely the, I guess, the most different request I've heard for a fan. I didn't know what to do. Of course, I held the baby, you know, and then I signed some stuff he had, but that was definitely the, you know, a different and unique request I've had from a fan.
Right. Probably thrill of a lifetime for the parents, and then, you know, they're if it was a boy, their son probably has the middle name Matthew now, but yeah.
Is that a common thing? I have no idea.
You know, I'm not 100% sure myself, but it doesn't surprise me as much as maybe it surprised you. So maybe it is. Maybe it's just I'm so used to seeing it that it doesn't, you know, faze me anymore or whatever.
I gotcha.
I think I've seen pictures of it before of other players holding babies. And so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one definitely caught me off guard. So
it may not be the last time it happens for us. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. One more thing. Obviously, you know, you were saying if you get back up, you want to change your plate song. And obviously, we want to see you back up on the big team. And, you know from my writing that I've been kind of pushing for it on my own. But what kind of advice, what's the best advice you've gotten from a baseball coach? And I'm not just talking Tigers coaches. I mean, like in general, like what kind of advice have you gotten like growing up or developing as a player that kind of sticks with you through the tough times?
Thank you, obviously, for your support, first of all. Sure. But I would say that the biggest thing is that I've learned is, you know, you practice hard to prepare yourself for the game. So the biggest thing is just to be yourself, I think, really, when you're playing. Mm-hmm. You know, and whether you're doing good or bad, just be yourself and try and stay the same. I know one thing that the biggest thing – another one of the biggest things I was told to coach is not to panic. Baseball is such a mental sport. Mm-hmm. You know, during a game, you try and let your physical abilities and all your abilities just kind of play. And once you start overthinking stuff, you know, that's usually when it tends to spiral a little. So I think that just be yourself and be nice and relaxed. I think that's the best advice I'd get, because especially with baseball, it's it can be tough sometimes. You know, it's a game of failure. You've heard it a million times.
Yeah.
You know, you succeed 3 out of 10 times and usually you're a Hall of Famer somewhere. So I think just learning to deal with that and just, like I said, be yourself and have no panic and just go out there. And like we were talking about earlier, just be a little kid playing a grown man's game. I think that's the biggest thing.
Right. Well, Matt, we look forward to hearing more from you and seeing great things out of you. And I feel like we haven't really seen the real Matt Haig just yet, but we are about to, you know, as the season goes on. So just continue doing what you're doing, and thanks for joining us today on the show.
Yeah, man, appreciate the support, and thanks for having me.
All right, for sure. Take care. All right, so Jimbo, any thoughts on that interview with Haig? Any questions or answers that stood out to you, or any impressions about Haig himself?
Well, it's always interesting hearing the baseball players, well, not players, hearing the athletes speak for the first time, really. You know, I've heard him on his Hero interview a couple times. It was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I says, oh, that's what his voice sounds like.
Right.
You know, you always imagine what he might sound like, then you get to hear it. But that was the first time I got to hear him speak for, you know, at length.
Yeah.
By himself. But I really liked his overall advice, kind of like be true to yourself, trust in yourself, you know. And he made a great point, I thought, about, you know, you make one hit in three and you're a Hall of Famer. You know, you get 3 hits out of 10, right? You fail more than you succeed. You know, it rings back to what was the Michael Jordan saying, you know, the only reason I win so much is because I lost so much before. And it's kind of that same thing. I really like that.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that really points out that, you know, baseball players have to be really mentally tough, because if you keep thinking about your previous failures, well, since you fail way more often than you succeed, you know, you're just going to psych yourself out every time. And so that's something that I really hope that he's able to, you know, just keep his chin up and realize that the team and management and everyone's just kind of going through this transition where I don't think management knows what it wants. And as a result, you know, he's kind of gotten the short end of the stick in some ways, but yeah, I think he's got the right attitude to survive in Japan, to enjoy playing on a Japanese baseball team. And that was another thing that kind of stood out, is that, you know, he said he's having a great time. Mm-hmm. You know, he loves playing Japanese baseball. When I asked him, you know, the best perk of playing ball in Japan, I was hoping it would be like, yeah, you know, we get free food, or, you know, the spread after the games is awesome, or, you know, something like that. But he was like, just being able to play in these different ballparks and go to these different cities. And it was like, what a great answer. I mean, you know, he just loves playing the game and he loves experiencing it in different places. And that's just a great attitude to have. So.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And it was good to hear that he likes ramen, so he can hang out. Messenger probably can take him everywhere. I'm pretty sure he loves ramen as well.
I've heard a rumor that says such. Yes.
I think I read it in one of the interviews once. So that's great. You got ramen buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, you know, and ramen is kind of the people's food, and so, you know, maybe if you mentioned that you know T-Ray, he might say, oh, okay, let's go grab a bowl or something like that.
I know. I am a ramen machine as well. I love it. And I wish he remembered what place it was. It's not that I want to go see him there, but I'd love to know, you know, what kind of ramen he likes, because, you know, coming new to Japan, you don't know. They could tell you what kind of ramen it is 100 times, and you always forget.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know, what kind do you like?
Yeah, he needs to write it down next time or tweet about it or something like that. So,
yeah. I think Messenger likes a... Oh, let's get off this. It's not so interesting. Who likes what ramen?
Messenger's Sorry, favorite is a place a in Yokohama, actually.
I read an article last
year. And I bought the omiyage when I was in Yokohama last April. And yeah, it's pretty good stuff, but I want to try it at the real store. Anyways, yeah, let's jump on to other topics. So, you know, we've talked plenty about losing, and now we actually have to talk about predicting how many wins and losses the team is going to get this coming week.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
So, Jimbo, to end the month of June, we got 3 straight at Koshien against the DeNA Yokohama Bay Stars, and then we start July on the road in Nagoya Dome, where we typically do very poorly to face the Dragons. Although, you know, the Dragons have been struggling of late, and DeNA won 2 straight against the Giants, and then they got kind of clobbered today by Garrett Jones. So I kind of think that goes in our favor that they lost on, you know, they're not on a winning streak now. You know, if they'd swept the Giants, they'd be coming in sky high to Koshien. But now they've been chopped down to size a little bit. Anyways, what do you think is going to happen against the Bay Stars and then against the Dragons?
Oh, it's tough to say. I mean, it'd be really easy just to go 0-6. I mean, just to be depressed after watching what happened against the Carp. Just wallow in your sadness and just stay down there. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I really don't think we're going to go 0-6. Mm. I think... it's tough. I don't want to be overly sad, but then I don't want to balance that off and be overly optimistic. So right. I'm going to go, I think we're going to go 2-4. And that's not my overly optimistic one. I'll let you know that. I think we're definitely going to pull one out against the Bay Stars and one against the Dragons. I'm going to go with that. And I'm going to think that it's because whatever Messenger pitches, I think we're going to get that win. I think Messenger he's going to be able to shut him down. Hmm? Yeah, he's money. He is money. I mean, I think he had 1 or 2. Well, he's had a few poor games against the Carp, right? Thank goodness he didn't have to pitch against the Carp this time. Well, but everybody else, he can shut him down. So I think we'll be able to win that one, whichever one he pitches. Whoever he's up against, I don't think it matters. He can shut him down.
It's going to be DeNA.
I'm sure. And then I'm going to have to say that Iwasada is going to go up against the Dragons, and I think he's going to be able to take it. I think with Nomi and Fujinami, I think they're going to get into trouble again early in the games, and I don't think our bats are going to be able to save them, and our relievers aren't going to be able to save them.
I'm a little bit worried about Fujinami versus Viciedo, because Viciedo has really, especially in the first couple series of the year against the Dragons, he really killed us, and... I just cringe at the thought, but I mean, it could happen again against Fujinami or Nomi or both. You know what? I'm actually going to go, I'm just looking to the weather forecast too, and we're playing 3 at Koshien, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the forecast calls for cloudy with rain, cloudy with rain, cloudy with rain. So I think we may get a rain out in there. So that's adding a twist to my prediction. I think we're only going to play 2 out of 3 against the Bay Stars, and we'll go 1-1 there. We'll go 1-2 at Nagoya Dome. So I'm going for a 2-3 with a rainout as my prediction. How do you like that?
Oh, it's pretty close. But at least it's different.
Yes, yes, for sure. All right, Jimbo. Well, we are going to wrap things up. It's been great to have you on the show. And how did it feel?
Oh, it felt pretty good. A little nervous. I've got big shoes to fill. You've got a lot of great co-hosts. And so it was just a lot of fun to be able to sit here and really look through the numbers and chat about the Tigers.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, as everybody knows, Jimbo has been in the Fantasy League with us. It's myself and Jimbo and Zorni, and we're having a blast with that. And I hope you're enjoying just listening to us banter about that. But also, some of you may not know this, but myself and Jimbo actually used to work together. That's how we know each other. And he kind of helped me to get to know the Tigers. He also helped me to just kind of get started with the whole blogging and websiting and all that kind of stuff. You were my first fan, buddy. You were the first one that followed me and really cared about what I was doing. So I appreciate that.
Well, any news I can get from the Tigers is great. So it wasn't altruistic. I had an ulterior motive. I wanted you to tell me.
You were using me.
I'm using you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you used me anyways. Speaking of using me, if anyone else wants to use me as their source of information, obviously, you know, the website is there, which is something I hope you've all accessed, thehanshintigers.com. You go to Facebook, you look up Hanshin Tigers English News, you'll find me there. If you go to Twitter and you do a little @thehanshintiger, you'll find me there. And if you want to send an email with questions or comments about the Chōhenkaku Tigers or anything else, any of my connections, anything else that I talk to Haig about, or anything you want me to ask him next time we talk, or anyone else you'd like me to talk to, send me an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. It's been great having you with us this week. Stay tuned, because next week we are going to be talking to a musician friend of mine. We are going to give our players of the month, and we're looking forward to a great summer with you all as well. Take care.
ありがとうって今は言わせて